The question today is, who does the Lord save? Well, the Bible says it in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he comes to save the lost. Now, who are lost? Well, you say every man's lost. Well, people are safe till they reach the knowledge of accountability. I don't know what age that is, but it's a knowledge of good and evil, not right and wrong. But at that point, they're lost, which means they're separated from God. Now, all people do not recognize that because they've not yet experienced that. In fact, some of them have not even had the revelation of that. And you must have the revelation, but you also must have the reality, which takes the work of Holy Ghost conviction. But there's really, as we break that down and find out who really of the lost are saved, who does the Lord save? Sure, it's the lost, but who are they? Well, first of all, he saves those who come. The Bible says, in essence, an invitation is given for man to come in Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, when he said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Revelation 22:17 says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Matthew 11:28 said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So he says to come. The Bible says if you'll come, you can be saved. But there's nothing in man that enables him to come, for he's dead. Ephesians 2:1 said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Not only is man dead, he's without strength. Romans 5:6 said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The word "without strength" means under the anesthesia of sin and have no real consciousness toward God. Therefore, for a man to come to the Lord Jesus, he must believe first that God exists. Hebrews 11:6 said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And therefore, he must be drawn. He must know God, knows God exists. He must be drawn. Psalm 65:4 said, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of the holy temple." In other words, he's the only one who will cause any man to approach unto the Lord. John 6:44-45 says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Now, it is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." That word "cometh" is a continuous action verb. And so, therefore, we see for him one person to come along that path of understanding is what that means. He must hear and learn. And learn means to understand. And that requires some teaching. Even for a lost man, he must be taught some things. And Psalm 25:8 said, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way." He's talking about that way of understanding, that narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And you know who the teacher is? The Holy Spirit. He's the one who teaches sinners in the way. Now, the parable of the soil in Matthew 13 reveals the good ground is the only one who had understanding. Matthew 13:23 said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30." And you see, those of the good ground were the only ones who were saved in that parable. The word "cometh" in John 6:45 means, as I said, to come along the path of understanding, which is the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. Matthew 7:13-14 said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You see, the person who cometh to the Lord, he must come along that way of understanding toward the narrow gate, as the Holy Ghost teaches him, and draws him, he will come. And he will not be cast out even while he's coming along that path of understanding or along that narrow way. Why? John 6:37 said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He that cometh along that path of understanding. I will not cast out even while he's coming. Now, who does the Lord save? Sure, it's the lost, but it's those who come of the lost that are saved. It's those who continue also that's saved. Now, it's not enough to start on the path of understanding. You must continue. Jesus told the Jews, whom the Bible says believed on him in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, and we'd have signed them up, put them in the church, put them in the choir, put them in the pulpit. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, he told them, and here's what he told them, that to continue, if they were to be truly his disciples, indeed means truly. In other words, they said they believed on him, but he said, if you're really my disciple, you'll continue in the word. They were given a conditional promise, in a sense, because it said, if you will continue, then they shall know the truth, which means to experience the truth, then the truth is Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And therefore, we must continue in the Word if we ever expect to be saved. These Jews, instead of continuing in His Word, they had the chance. The Lord told them they could be saved, but they got angry, and Jesus later told them, they were of your father the devil, in John 8:44. In other words, these Jews were not saved because they did not continue. The Lord said, if you'll continue, you'll be saved. Now, let me say that the Lord is the one who enables you to come, and the Lord is the one who enables you to continue in the narrow way or the path of understanding that leads to life. So who does the Lord save? He saves the lost. I understand that. But the lost are those who have a reality, are those who come and those who continue, and thirdly, those who count the cost. They're the ones the Lord saved. Jesus put demands on the multitude that followed him and wanted to make him king in John 6:53, when he said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Not talking about literal eating the body of Jesus. That's cannibalism, and he's against that. He's not talking about drinking literal blood, but it's talking about wholehearted reception of Jesus as their Lord. That means at the point of salvation, he's got to be Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. In other words, if Jesus is not your Lord, he's not your Savior. Therefore, when they counted the cost as he put this demand upon them, in essence, when they did, they said the price is too high, and they left Jesus and walked no more with him. They were not saved. They were not willing to pay the price. But for one to be saved, he must count the cost. Now, Paul counted the cost for 3 days as he lay blinded under conviction on the street called Straight in Damascus. As we've said before, Paul wasn't saved on the Damascus Road. Acts 22:16 bears that out when he said, Ananias came and said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And therefore, he had not yet had his sins forgiven. But for 3 days he lay there and counted the cost. He spoke of this in Philippians 3, verse number 4 through 6, where really he gave his pedigree, if you please. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he lists these things. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And then he stated he was willing to pay the price in Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8. But that what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, that I may be saved. In other words, there on the street called Straight, Paul counted the cost, and as a result, he was saved. Now, Jesus stated plainly that the cost of becoming his disciple, and this is not something down the road, this is the point of salvation. But in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, 27, and 33, listen to what he said. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and Lord and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, it's a high cost. that he put up on it, but you've got to be willing to pay to count the cost. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to count the cost. You may say, but I'm not willing to say such a price. No man is within himself. But when the Holy Spirit begins His work in salvation, the Lord will enable you to pay the price like Paul did, because He'll make you willing in the day of thy power. Psalms 110:3 said, He'll make you willing in the day of His power. And that means the Lord's power. When He works in your life, He'll make you willing to pay the price. So who does the Lord save? Sure, He saves the lost. Those who've had a reality of lostness, though, must come. And there's the ones He saved. Those who come, those who continue, and those who count the cost. But fourthly, He saves those who call. Psalm 55:16 said, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. Notice He said, call on the Lord, not on the Savior, but on the Lord. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, it's not on Savior, it's on the Lord. Now, the word call means to recognize one's need, and one cannot do that without a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction. 1 Corinthians 12:3 said, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. To call does not mean to say words with your mouth, but it means to cry out from the depths of your heart that which has been broken by godly sorrow over your sin. And it's a sin, singular. It's the root sin of unbelief. Now, for you to call, according to Romans 10:13, which He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, you must recognize your need of Jesus Christ as your righteousness and your Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:10 said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. John 16:8-11 said, and when He, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, who is Jesus, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So we ask the question today, who does the Lord save? Yes, He saves the lost. I understand that. The lost who recognize their loss. Not only recognized it, but they have realized it. That's the reality of that lostness, but they are the ones who come. In other words, He saves those who come to Him. And in other words, they begin the pilgrim journey on the path of understanding or the narrow way. And then they continue all the while counting the cost. And when that person is made willing to pay the price, then he can and will call on the Lord from the heart. At that point, he'll be saved and the Lord will get all glory. And he should, because salvation is of the Lord. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.